Good morning, saints and faithful from California. Hopefully, those of you are on are those who remember the time change and unfortunately weren't confused thinking that it was Ron's time and now you're stuck with me. So those of you who have had an opportunity to listen to me in the past may recognize some of what I'm going to talk about today. It is something that I think bears repeating. Those of you who know that I coached, I realize that spring training for baseball players is something that they do every year. Why do you take an experienced baseball player who's been playing the game for 20 years and make him hit, catch, and throw something that they learned when they were 5 years old? Well, the same truth for them is for us. Just because we know this truth and may have learned it 20 years ago, doesn't mean that we don't need to repeat it, reinforce it, and continually think on these things. And so the words I give you today hopefully are words that the Lord has put on my heart again and again to be reminded of, and something that will bless you throughout this coming season. I am shocked that it is November 2nd. I don't know where the year went, which reminds us to redeem the time. And you know, how do we do that? Well, I think one way is to continually be thankful in front of the Lord. And that's what this season's about. It's thankfulness. And it's time for Thanksgiving. It's time to look at the harvest that the Lord has provided and make sure that as we sort that harvest through, we keep the things close to us that are eternal and not necessarily those things that will be perishing in a short while. So if you'll turn with me to Galatians 5:22, and as you're doing that, let me ask for the Lord's blessing and his wisdom as we listen to this study. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are with us, that we are reminded each day of the beauty of your creation, everything from a rainbow to the sparkling snow to just the sunshine that you provide. And that you're the creator and that you are in all and that we have the opportunity to know you, know of your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your tenderness, and that through that we might be tender and merciful to others as well. And Lord, we just pray that you'll give us wisdom now as we listen to these words, your words, not mine, and that we can dwell on them throughout the weeks to come and are reminded of your presence every day in our lives. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So for those of you who are interested in this study afterwards, if you will email me, I can send you a copy of it. Tony's got it, and so does Barney. And the topic in Galatians 5:22 is actually the title. And 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so as we see the joy, peace, and long-suffering there, gentleness, goodness, faith, etc., those are the fruits of the Spirit. That's true. We see this same message later by Paul, but expressed just a little bit differently. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Except for when you have tribulation, don't rejoice. Oh, wait, he doesn't say that. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the supplication of prayer with thanksgiving is what continues to provide an ongoing peace, and this peace passes all comprehension, all ability to know and to understand. It's beyond what we are capable of. And he starts it off by saying rejoice, and then he repeats himself, again I say rejoice. He then says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about today. Don't worry about the things of the world. But through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. It doesn't say, I'm going to answer every prayer, though I believe he does. He just doesn't answer it the way we want. It's the old yes, no, maybe, and I'll tell you later. But I'll tell you later isn't always no, and I'll tell you later isn't always yes. So knowing that the Lord has our best interests at heart, we have peace in him, and we just need to keep that not only in our hearts but in our minds. Now, why is there a separation there? Because what we think sometimes is what we end up believing, and that thinking sometimes causes us to do things. Sometimes that believing or that emotion helps us to get through the difficult times. But it is a peace that the Lord provides us when we are on his path. And so where did this whole idea of Thanksgiving come from anyway? Was it really the pilgrims that landed at, and why would they land on a rock anyway? That's just so stupid. But I guess that's just ancient history. So let's take a look at this this concept of Thanksgiving for a second. You go back to Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 2. And what we see there is the law. And so in Leviticus 7:12, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Shit, sounds like a Southern California barbecue if you ask me. We got fries, we got cakes, we got oil, we got deep fried. Well, he goes on to say, besides, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. So this sacrifice of thanksgiving is tied to peace. And the peace offering is the peace that we get between the Lord and ourselves. Or, excuse me, of the Jews at this point in time, because let's face it, this isn't written for us. It was written to the Jew. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkles the blood of the sacrificed offerings. Now notice this, long, long, long before the pilgrims, the Jews were playing football, because we see here the Hail Mary, the heave offering unto the Lord. Okay, that was a joke for those of you who didn't understand it. For those of you who did, I know you were thinking LOL right now. So, that's because you don't know how to laugh anymore. All we know how to do is spell it, which is sad. He says, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. And on the morrow, also the remainder of it shall be eaten, but the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day burnt with fire. Now, I mean, isn't this just the typical Thanksgiving that we go through? I mean, everybody gorges themselves at one meal. There's hardly any leftovers. If there are, they usually get burned up in the microwave the next day. But this is the basis that we have our holiday. It is based on a Jewish tradition. And isn't it interesting that so many beliefs that we have today are based on truth, but it's been now twisted a bit to mean something a little bit different? And so, you know, we have our history that says Thanksgiving is all about the pilgrims. The Jews have their time of Thanksgiving, which was a sacrifice unto the Lord. And so we find that this opportunity, this offering of thanksgiving had to do with more than just eating. It had to do with praise. It had to do with adoration. It had to do with a time that was totally devoted to the Lord and to worship. And it is the Hebrew word todah, T-O-D-A-H, and you can, if you ask for the handout I'll give you, you'll get that reference. But it's interesting to me because it does in fact include praise, which I don't know anyone that can praise without being joyful. And so that joy that we saw in Philippians comes out. In Psalms 95:2, it says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." Now, for those of you who understand what the Psalms are written in a way by multiple different authors that have to do, in most cases, with music. And in many cases, there are many musical aspects of some of the Psalms in the way that they are developed, the rhyme, et cetera, that's in them. And so we're to make this joyful noise with him with psalms. For some of us that don't have a very good voice, and I put myself in that group, that may not necessarily be a joyful noise. And so I just make sure that I'm surrounded by at least 50 or 60 other people. So it's all about volume at that point in time. It's not about harmony or anything else. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might to the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but all at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." Now, think about this for a moment and think about what was just said there. Remember, we're talking about joy here for a moment. We're talking about with thanksgiving and rejoicing. And it goes back to the same in Philippians where it says, "Be careful for nothing," meaning don't be anxious. And here it's talking about that, look, we've got this light affliction. It is not greater than what the Lord suffered. And we're not to be looking at the things which we see in front of us, but the things that are not seen. Not for the things of the earth, but for the spiritual things. And that we are to look at those things that are eternal. That's hard to do. It's hard to do when there's a truck in front of you going 60 miles an hour and just about to make you a pancake, and you think to yourself, well, I'll just think about the eternal things and not the temporal ones because this body is going to be a pancake. And instead, we're a little anxious, we jump out of the way, which is appropriate, and then we thank the Lord that we weren't hit. But why were we out in the middle of the road? Most likely because we were off path. Most likely because we were running instead of remembering those things that are most important in redeeming the time. Which is the next verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Redeem the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We see that this time of thanks is coupled with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now that's an important piece for me because if I can't outwardly make a noise that's joyful for the Lord to listen to, it's okay because I can make melody in my heart and he still hears it. And he still knows that I am praising and exalting him. The word thanks always here is the Greek word eucharisto, and it means to be grateful, to express gratitude. It is something that became a tradition, not a commandment, not a requirement, but a tradition that you do at meal time. And I think that that's a good tradition, actually. Some tradition of men that I think, wait a minute, why are we doing that repetitive thing just because, the Lord said, quote, the Lord's Prayer, and therefore we have to repeat it every day in every service? I don't think so. But I think that there is an opportunity when we break bread with others, especially those who are Christians, especially those who are not Christians, that don't know and that might be watching us. And so whether you're at the privacy of your home or if you're out in a restaurant, you have an opportunity to be a witness of Christ. And that's an important piece for us so that praise comes upon Him. In Colossians 1:12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If you can't give thanks for that, you don't understand forgiveness. We have redemption. He has taken us from the power of darkness. And for some of you, that may not have the same meaning that it does for others. If you have small children who have ever been, quote, afraid of the dark, what were they afraid of? Nothing. Their imagination. And our imagination can be very dark. There are pictures, there are articles in the newspaper every day about the darkness of this world. And many people live in darkness. Many people fear the darkness. And they just need to remember, wait a minute, we have been translated from this darkness to His presence. As if we were there now in His presence. Well, as if He was standing beside us. We are with His blood because He first forgave us. That when we were yet sinners, He still loved us. And that's something I'm grateful and should be on our knees every day about. Go on down and further in Colossians 2:7. It says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Only Paul could find joy when he was in prison for the saints that were still faithful. He goes on to say, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. Now this is an important thing to keep in mind. This is not just a sober, thank you, Lord. This is abounding. This is the jumping up and down like an NBA basketball player sprinting towards the basket with the ball palmed in his hand, about ready to slam it. This is an abounding. This is a joy that lifts us up. To the point where we don't even have to touch the ground anymore, and yet we can still walk. Beware lest any man spoil you through vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, this is something to joy about. This is something to be thankful about. If He is the fullness, then we are complete in Him. If we are complete in Him, then why would we do anything after the tradition of men, after philosophy, or after the rudiments of the world? Why would we continue to do works of ourselves unless we felt that what Christ had done was insufficient for us? And so to be complete is filled up. We need nothing more. And if complete, then our actions, our works, are nothing but a waste. No different than a glass of water that is completely full to the brim. If you add one more drop to it, it will cause a spillover, which is just a waste. And so why are we running to and fro trying to do things so that the world sees us when in fact it's just vain deceit? And from my perspective, anybody who is doing those things doesn't understand how I think how the emotion of the Lord would be looking down saying, you don't get it. I did this. I did this for you. Why are you continuing to do more? Do you not appreciate what I've done? And therefore, we are to be thankful for what he has done and reminded of what he went through for us, because we could have never done it ourselves. He goes on to say, verse 11, in whom also are you circumcised with the uncircumcision, with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins in the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism. Oh, buried? I mean, we don't have to be out and splashed. We're buried with him, or to be reckoned that way. Wherein you're also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, past, present, future, all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Think about that for a moment. One, trespasses have been forgiven. Sins have been forgiven. All of our actions that may not have been appropriate to the Lord have been forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, they have been put off. He has made us as white as the falling snow. He's blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. All of the law that was contrary to us. Now, what does that mean, contrary to us? Well, people didn't know that they were sinners and had the law to compare themselves to. And even then, doesn't mean that they weren't sinners. Because in most cases, if they stood up and pounded their chest and said, I'm not a sinner like you. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't... you got me back yet? Hello? Okay. I don't know what happened. I think those minions unlocked my mic for a moment.
We didn't hear that.
So I'm not sure what you heard last. And so I'm going to go back and read John again, because I'm not sure where you might have fallen off. And John 16:22, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. Anguish for joy that a man is born into the world, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. This last few words, and your joy no man taketh from you. Has someone taken your joy away? Has someone done something to you? Have you had something happen in your life and your joy has been, in your mind, stolen? Therein lies the challenge, because our joy comes from not just our mind, but from our heart. And when we think we've been wronged, and many, many have, being able to forgive them like the Lord has forgiven us brings back that joy. And for some people that is, they're unable to do so. They are, in fact, sorrowful. And sour is the key word there. Let's move on to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, Peter was written to Jewish believers. He was asked to stay in Jerusalem. Many think that he went out to the Gentiles, and while he was with the Gentile, he did not leave the land, which is what he was commanded to do. And this is something, these last two verses are something to remember, that, you know, when we lose someone in our lives, possibly to death, that sorrowful, or being full of sorrow is only for a moment. And just as these disciples looked forward to seeing the Lord again, we have that opportunity. And in fact, they did see him again, only to lose him. And then they were told, what are you doing looking up in the clouds? You know, you got work to do. And I believe we have too, and we can find great joy in that work as we go through life. There is no greater, in my mind, book of joy beyond some of the Psalms, but in the New Testament, no greater book of joy than the Philippians, the book that Paul wrote to the Philippians. And so in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He repeats himself and repeats himself. Why? Because it's worth repeating himself. He says, rejoice always, all the time. Not just occasionally, not just on Thanksgiving, not just on Christmas Day, not just on some other holiday, but rejoice always. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We read this to start this session off today. Then it goes on and says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You want joy? You want to be thankful? Well, take a look at these several options we have to think on. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. Do you go through life looking for things that aren't right? Or do you go through life looking for the things that are? There may be fewer, but are you looking for things to praise in other people? An important distinction. It's called affirmation. It's called encouragement. It's called, look at any one of those words. It all has to do with building up other people. So if there's anything that someone else does that could be of good report or praise, then we should. And praise the Lord for the things that happen in our lives, both good and bad, because it's His way of guiding us. And the peace is a quietness. It is frequently accompanied by prosperity, or in times of prosperity. It is just an inner peace that we have in knowing that Christ has dealt with everything, including death. And if death is about to encompass someone you love, then, you know, rejoice in the fact that they had time here, that you had time to know them, that you had the opportunity to hopefully witness to and with them, and that these things too shall pass, and you shall in fact be with them again. Focus on the positive and not the sorrow of seeing someone say goodbye. And, you know, I've recently been told that my brother, older brother, has been diagnosed with cancer, and they said it's inoperable, but they are doing radiation and chemo. And I truly believe that it is a positive frame of mind that will be the best men have. And the best thing I can do is not think about the fact that I might lose him. I mean, that's going to happen at some point in time anyway. Maybe not now, but it's going to happen at some point in time. What I have to focus on are the times that we enjoyed together, the times that we prayed together, the times that we worship together, that were so precious, because neither one of us, I would think that my parents would have ever thought of us as saints, and maybe they still wouldn't, but who would have thought that we would have come to this truth and known that we have life through Christ? In Psalms 37, verse 37, it says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. This peace that we have, that we saw in Philippians, that came about as a thanksgiving, that came about as of thinking on these different eight things that we have, it's amazing to me that when we look for that perfect man, and we know that there is no perfect man except for Christ, but if we look then for the upright, we look for those who are praising the Lord as well, the end of that man is peace. And that's a type of prosperity in itself. The things that cause us to be anxious about the world, if we just sit down for a moment and are reminded that the Lord has taken care of that, and then we're reminded to thank him, that the peace and the thankfulness go hand in hand, and that this peace is in fact one of the fruits of the Spirit, and it comes from believing. And so in John 16 verses 31-33, the Lord is said to have said, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In spite of being scattered, he was telling them that ye might have peace. Why? Because you're not alone. He goes on to say, in the world ye shall have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That should provide us peace. Not only has he overcome the world, he's overcome death. There is no victory with the grave over a believer in Christ. Two more passages that I want you to take a look at. Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 and 16. It says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let God rule in your hearts. Where does the peace of God come from? It comes from charity. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Peace, thankfulness. Thankfulness, peace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing, singing, singing. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, all of which are a way of demonstrating our thankfulness to the Lord, because it's a way of praising him. And when we do that, that is a way for us to rejoice and the Lord to rejoice that we understand this truth. I'm going to leave you with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's our goal with the few, the faithful, the individuals who are not proud, but instead humbled by what the Lord has done for them. I being more thankful than most, because I have more to look back on and think of how short I have come to what it is the Lord would have me to do and to accomplish. And so knowing that he has done so much for me, and finding that joy, finding the ability to rejoice, even in long suffering, and the word long suffering has to do with patiently enduring. It is what Job was supposed to be a model for us of. And we're to do that by forbearing one another in love, so that we keep the unity of the Spirit. The conference in South Carolina was awesome because it showed us that unity of spirit. It showed us that even though we are separated by distance, we have one mind, one heart, one desire, and that is to walk worthy of the Lord. And it's great to be a part of a group of people who desire to know the Word, and so that they can better praise Him and glorify Him and therefore be witnesses of Him. So from the Word comes wisdom, which shows us the value of joying and rejoicing and thanksgiving, which brings us peace. With that, I bid you peace. I am thankful for each of you and know that the Lord will complete that which He has started in each of you as you go through your lives. Love your families, draw them close to you, and be thankful. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to unlock the mic.